Welcome to the Broken Token Podcast.
Welcome to episode 117 of the Broken Token Classic Gaming Podcast. I'm co-host of the show, Brent Griffith, and longtime listeners of the show will realize that we are one voice shy for this recording, and that is of my co-host, Mr. Whitney Roberts. Unfortunately, life has just continued to get in the way, and we've not been able to work out scheduling so that Whitney and I could sit down and record a show in a way that we would like to. That said, Whitney and I still want to bring everyone some new content, and that's what we're going to do with this episode. I had an opportunity to sit down with organizers of Louisville Arcade Expo, Joe and Corey, and discuss what's going to go on in 2024 here in Louisville for LAX. The show itself is going to be March 29th through the 31st here in Louisville. Of course, this is 2024, and I recommend that you come. We speak about this show every year. We attend this show every year. I personally have made it to every show since the inception. It's always a great time. We love to sit down and talk with people, meet our listeners. Speaking of talking with people, Whitney and I will be streaming this year from the show Friday and Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. So that's going to be Friday the 29th, Saturday the 30th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll put all those links and that information out in our normal feeds and give everyone an opportunity to join in the fun if you can't make it. Again, I highly recommend that you come. When this hits your podcast app, you should have about 30 days before the show. That's a lot of time. It should be enough time. If you're kind of on the fence, jump over to the I'm going to go to the show side of the fence. Make the plans. Come on into Louisville. Come to the show. We'd love to see you. With that, I'm going to turn the show over to Joe and Corey. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show Corey and Joe from Louisville Arcade Expo.
Hey, how you doing?
I was going to say, Brent, thank you very much, good sir.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So very welcome. I'm glad you all made time to sit down here with me. I was going to try to say something like something pithy, you know, like my home show. You know, we talk a little bit about another event we attend. We call it our home away or show, our home show that's not at home, but you all are definitely the home show. You're where the heart is.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
We're really looking forward to coming back this year. This will be our 13th year at the Louisville Arcade
Expo.
Wow,
y'all don't look, you know, a day past 12. So
is it too much?
Too much.
For those who don't know at home, though, by the way, this recording studio is the place to be. I am surrounded by pinball machines, arcade machines, memorabilia, 80s, 90s. I'm in heaven.
A Selectivision player.
Here. Selectivision player and a beautiful wood grain CRT hooked up to it. Oh, my God.
This turned about, you know, just keep on with it. I'm just going to roll with it, you know. That TV, I don't even want to get into what it took to choose and to find the perfect wood grain TV with the perfect inputs. I mean,
we can relate.
I'm sure you can.
It looks magical.
I'm sure you can.
But yeah, as Corey was saying, we're excited. It's our 13th Louisville Arcade Expo. It's coming out this March 29th, 30th, and 31st. It's at the same location it's been for a good decade, which is the Triple Crown Pavilion.
I was going to say, it's an awesome space. It's easy parking. It's easy to get into. You all run an unbelievable program, for lack of a better term, and the layout of the venue is amazing.
Friday on the 29th from 2 to 11, Saturday the 30th from 10 to 11, and Sunday the 31st from 10 to 4.
There's our days and hours. Come the whole time, enjoy.
He's right to business. Corey is like on it.
The number one question people ask, when is it?
Earlier, you know, we were having a little pre-show banter, and we were talking a little bit about like some cars, and of course, then we talked about games and some other shows, and I'm trying to be careful here because I'm here to talk about your show, so I don't want to talk about other shows. I don't want to pull away from it. But I've noticed that car shows, game shows, you all have the info there. It never ceases to amaze me when I look at somebody's website or their Facebook page, how far I have to dig to find what the hours are and what the address of the venue is. I just don't want to show up in St. Louis. Where's it at? You know, help me out here, guys. Throw me a bone.
We try. And if anybody has any questions, please just reach out for sure.
Facebook.com/
Louisville Arcade.
Louisville Arcade.
And then Louisville Arcade.
.com is the website?
.com. Yep. .com. Well, you know, we were thinking,
is there www in front of that?
13, 14 years ago, we were thinking, you know, Louisville Arcade Expo, that's That is a long URL.
Yeah.
So we looked up Louisville Arcade. Oh, that's not taken. We'll take it.
That works.
And the double E's is kind of a goofy thing to type in, Louisville Arcade Expo. Just kind of, it's too much. It's too much.
You would think you could use LAX, but that's an airport. So
if you Google us, you'll find it.
You'll find it.
Yeah. And we do love the LAX moniker, though. That's a really great thing to have.
Oh, it just rolls right off the tongue. Have you all considered shirts with just LAX?
We have, but we don't want Los Angeles calling up. You know?
So. Oh, like the city of Los Angeles is going to have a problem with.
Or the FAA or something.
So show-wise, we got the dates and the times. We know the location. Again, the venue is unbelievable. One of the things I really like about it is just the openness. Now, I know some stuff, you do have side rooms where you can have some things highlighted.
The side rooms are a lot of fun, and I would encourage, while I totally agree that the big main hall is awesome because it's got the free play arcade with all the pinball machines, all the arcade machines, some projectors set up, the stage, Rock Band on the small stage coming back, and a lot of fun stuff.
You heard it here first, folks. That's a promise. Come on down for Rock Band on the small stage.
Oh, we were enhancing that Rock Band, by the way. Corey's going to tell you all about it right now.
We added the light show and fog machine to the that's choreographed with the music.
Give you full rock and roll experience,
that's
right?
Right. All on Rock Band 360. So come out and...
We didn't think that was going to be that cool, but then we saw it hooked up and we went, oh my God, this is awesome. Yeah,
Rock Band 3, you see the genre of games that I'm into. Rock Band, now, so is this on
360.
Xbox 360?
Yeah.
The best version of it came out on 360, so that's what we were.
Okay, all right. Okay.
And we have a couple 8-inch speakers that we set up to it, so you can really thump. It's a lot of fun. The drums, guitar, the
mic. So how does that work? Do you just show up and play, or do you have someone there that
just
like...
Just show up and play.
Okay.
You and your friends. People just swap in and out, pick a song, start playing.
Okay. Now, if someone does hog it, please find a staff member and be like, hey, we got some people that have been on for 45 minutes, and we'll talk to them.
Well, see, I didn't know if it was like... You were talking about something that's going to date me here. I was thinking about like first thing I went to is like, well, karaoke. You'd go in and you'd sign up, and when your song came up, so I didn't know how it worked.
People mostly work it out. Every now and then we have somebody hogging.
Well,
it.
people are, and I'll just make the statement. Overall, very respectful when you're in an event kind of in our space.
Yeah, our folks are really good-natured folks, and we have been very lucky that everyone has got along so well together and just enjoyed having fun playing games.
So I mentioned the main hall. I don't want to detract from some of the side rooms, and I'll make the same comment that I know I've made in prior years. When you get there, check the scheduling, all right, because you all are phenomenal about having signage out that says this is going on, this is where it's at, this is where the space is, this is where these areas are located in the venue.
Dude, can we hire you? Because that was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well, tell you what, I'll cut that and then you can just put it out on Facebook, on TikTok, whatever it is you all, whatever the kids do. I don't know anymore.
We appreciate it because, yeah, it is jam packed with tons of fun stuff to do. And what I was saying before is I really encourage people to check the halls because we have so, so much fun stuff to do in those. We have the PC room that has the LAN party in there, an Xbox 360 LAN. Usually we set up Unreal Tournament on a 16 player LAN setup. And again, LAN for the youngins is local area network. So you don't have to be on the internet for this, and you can play against someone sitting right next to you or 16 chairs down from you and have a blast. But also throughout the hall, we have the Mario Kart Live, which is the RC Mario and Luigi.
Oh, that's coming back.
Dude, it's so fun. Yeah. It is so fun.
I didn't get to do that last year. I got to do it. Beth and I did it the first year. I thought this is going to be cool because for one, I like RC stuff. It's beyond cool. Yeah. Loved
it. It is super fun. And
they had to kick me off.
Oh, yeah. So. That happens. That's okay.
No, they did. But.
Every year we learn from the previous year and make it better and better. So we're excited to bring it back.
Is there a loop-de-loop in the track this year?
No, we're adding a ramp.
Are you adding a ramp?
Yeah, with an underpass. So originally we got on Amazon. We were getting all excited and hyped up. And I bought a skateboard ramp, which was 8.5 feet long. And it had a real nice incline to it. It was tight. It was really nice. So I went to test it. And I didn't realize that those carts are rear-wheel drive. So it could not make that angle to get it up over there. Unless you really knew how to drive and kind of cut the corner and went on up. Anyhow, long story short. We have engineered a ramp now. It's friggin' sweet. It's a ton of fun. The track is being worked on meticulously, and it's just awesome. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. And again, it's in the hallway. We have cameras in there, and we have that projected out to a monitor outside the room. So when you walk by, if you didn't know,
oh, is that new?
You'll see it.
We did that last year too.
Okay, I missed that.
You got to go to the halls.
You can see on the split screen what.
I'm not taking my own advice. You can see on the split screen.
You can see on the split screen what is each in each player's view plus the overall camera view of the room on a triple view display on the outside.
Oh yeah, I completely missed that. Yeah, that is awesome.
Dude, you're gonna love it. Yeah. You're gonna love it.
Yeah, even if you've played it, you haven't played it until you've played it at LAX.
Yeah, and then so we've got the indie devs coming back, and they have another room that they're going to be all their new games that they've been working on. They're going to have that, but they're also going to bring some arcade machines this year, because what they'll do is they'll make fun, kind of fast twitch playing games that you can play as an arcade game. Obviously, it would be on your phone or something mobile probably. They're going to have full-on machines set up for people to come and enjoy and have a lot of fun with. So they'll be there again. In fact, last year, what was it, Bumpy Grumpy? I can't remember off the top of my head. It was such a fun game that Nathan Fouts made from Mommy's Best Games.
Now, did he have that in a full...
He had that in a full cast.
Because
artwork and everything. Yeah. I'm sure you all interviewed him or talked to him or something.
I'm 90% sure I helped him load that game in. Yes.
I could see that.
But you're going to actually have those in a space where you can spotlight all that these indie devs do.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes. Yes. And that'll be in the hallway as well.
Yeah, that was super popular last year.
And of course, we'll always...
So are you going to put it like in the hallway itself?
In the room.
Okay.
In the room.
Okay.
Potentially something would be outside the hallway to draw attention to like, hey, come in this room. It's awesome. And I'm sure Nathan and us will work that out and try to figure that out. But we'll also have the similar as we had before. You know, the one big hallway room will have classic consoles. It'll have the NES shooting gallery so you can throw down on Duck Hunt. We're probably going to put the Super Nintendo version of that too, the SNES Super Scope.
Okay.
I don't know if a lot of people know about that.
No, I say.
There's a very fun game called Yoshi Safari on that. We're going to set that out for everybody, so be prepared, because Mario with a bazooka equals awesome.
Speaking of the halls, where is the vendor space going to be at this year? The
vendor space will stay in the main ballroom.
Okay.
And in the Julia Bell next to the concession stand. We are added more vendors this year just because we had so many vendors come back every year.
Which is good.
So we're moving some of the cocktail games out into the main hall and increasing the vendor space.
Your vendors are very eclectic.
We try to have a wide range of vendors. So if you're interested in collectible games, if you're interested in collectible artwork, jewelry, 3D printed items, we try to have a very wide variety of family-friendly vendors.
We have like a bespoke vendor selection, and Corey goes through and meticulously makes sure that we don't have four plushie vendors and we don't have three, I bought a laser engraver, check out what I can do. Corey makes sure that we try to get a really unique and really fun set of vendors.
Try to have a good mix so that they all have a good show, as well as people have lots of things to choose from.
I know I've been to shows and I'm going to pick something out of the air, and I'm not picking on that thing, but I'm sure you all will know what I'm saying when I say this. I have been to shows where you look down an aisle of vendors and half of them are selling nothing but Funko Pops.
Yeah.
That's not what you're going to find at
LAX.
We
don't have 10 Funko Pop vendors.
Yes.
There might be one or two that have some Funko Pops.
Which
to
makes
have
sense.
A nice selection of, right.
Absolutely.
Correct. But there's lots of other things that people are into in this industry and try to cater to our clientele.
So I know you all have got a list of things which I'm not privy to because I'm just hosting this train wreck as it spirals into the ground. Lead me here, guys. What do you have to touch on? I want to make sure I get out all the information that we can to our listeners, because LAX is upon us here in a month and a half or so.
Yeah, pretty soon.
About
pretty
that.
Soon, yep. Yeah.
As we record this, it's 40 days.
It's 40 days. Okay. So that gives all of our listeners plenty of time. You hear us talk about this every year. If you've been, come back. If you haven't, you need to show up. All right.
Oh, dude, I swear you're wonderful. So as we work our way, we're going to go back to the hallways and we're going to work our way back around. Off to the side a little bit, sometimes it's hard to find for people, is the pinball tournament room. We always run a pinball tournament, and then we got another great one coming this year too.
We're doing the best card format. Wayne Rouse will be our tournament director again, who is the Kentucky IFPA representative. You'll be able to play that for qualifying as both Friday and Saturday, with finals on Sunday. We are hosting the second annual Dr. Mario tournament, which is the Bluegrass Regionals. They were here last year, and they are coming back to do their second quarterfinal event. you get a, if you win, you get a top seed in the national tournament for Dr. Mario. This is Dr. Mario on the NES.
I remember this from last year, and I was, because this is that.
This is real deal.
Yeah, it's real deal.
This is real deal, seriously.
Last year was the first I had ever heard of, like, full-on tournament Dr. Mario. And don't get me wrong, I like me some Dr. Mario.
Mario is perfect. It's head-to-head, the fact that you're playing against another person. I mean, NES Tetris, they can make it head-to-head, mm-hmm. but Dr. Mario was designed to be head-to-head. It's a lot of fun. It's just $2 to enter. There's a top prize. There's $500 in prizes and a trophy. And then you move on to go and play in the national tournament.
The trophy, by the way, is a sweet custom-made Louisville Slugger bat.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a big pill bottle.
Easy there. Your hair may be a rock star, but you don't have to live the life, man. Jeez.
It's a lifestyle, man.
I hear you. But yeah, it's an awesome tournament. The guy who runs it is the coolest dude, too. Him and his team, they do a fantastic job.
And I didn't realize, usually when I play Dr. Mario, it's on Versus, because it's one of the games that gets heavy rotation in my Versus cabinet. It's usually just me. I'll turn on a game, play it. If I knew, I'd forgotten that you could play it head-to-head.
The head-to-head version it's a lot of fun.
So satisfying when you set up a combo and you just peek over on the other person's screen and watch as your pill leftovers drop down.
They were trying to affect their screen.
Look at all that red that just dropped on your yellow. It's fun. It's so fun.
And even if you're not interested in playing, just coming out to watch is a lot of fun.
I have watched some competitive gaming at shows. Seeing it on YouTube, I didn't get it. But when you get in an event like that, that is especially, like, I can see it, Joe, if you do something that adversely affects your opponent, the energy in the room watching that, just like the cheer or the dire feeling you feel for the person that just kind of got it in the shorts, it is a unique feeling.
It's fun.
Make sure you come. It's the tournament will be both qualifying and finals will be on Saturday.
Now, is that going to be in the main hall?
In the main hall, yeah. Correct.
Are you going to project that, or
they have their own?
Oh, okay.
AV, so they'll control.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And we'll also be doing some fun, unique console tournaments as well. Now, I can't go into too much detail because I don't want someone to game the system and practice too hard. But as Brent mentioned, everybody, please check the schedule because we will reveal those probably the week of the expo itself, or even the day of. In the past, we've done a lot of fun stuff like our all-time favorite Soul Calibur on just Sega Dreamcast, where you play one versus one Soul Calibur, but you have to use the fishing controller. And it is so fun. It's amazing to see someone, you know, taking the corded fishing controller and what the action would be for a cast. You're swinging it and, you know, Mitsurugi is swinging his katana trying to slice Nightmare, the giant knight in ancient German, you know, armor. It is so good.
I know you all have done that, and unfortunately, just with the way the podcast works, and speaking of, let me mention that here for everybody. Whitney and I will be broadcasting Friday and Saturday night, as we've done in prior years. Don't let that turn you away, because every year with the guests that we have, the people we pull from the floor, people that come in to the show, we've had some folks that have come into the show, have come at our prompting because of segments just like this. Come up and speak with us. And if you want to get on the show, we'll put you on the show. But we're going to start streaming Friday and Saturday night live from the floor. Some color commentary as to what's going on. You never know who's going to turn up. So stop in and speak with us, and we'd love to have you on the mic. But for those that can't make it, first of all, my heart breaks for you because it's a wonderful event. You should show up. But secondarily, we will put those shows out in our stream. So you will get to listen and you'll see what you missed, which was going to be a lot. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. Tons of fun.
You were talking about the pop-up tournaments. I know in prior years, you all have done that like on the arcade side. The vibe I got from it and I thought was really cool is everybody's got a level playing field, right?
That's what we go for, yeah.
Right.
So it's fun for everybody.
Exactly.
Kids who have never played the game, or maybe someone who missed it when they came out when they were a kid. And, you know, if you're someone who just happens to be good at that game, that's cool, too. You know, but we just don't want, you know, someone flying in from Brazil, trained for weeks to dominate. And one of our favorite tournaments, actually, that we do is Super Smash Brothers, the original Super Smash Brothers on Nintendo 64. And we do that on the main stage because it is similar to Dr. Mario in that it's super fun just to spectate it and watch it as it goes on. And it's a huge, huge tournament. I think we had 50 or 60 people in one last year, had four Nintendo 64s going all at once to get it down to the final four. And it was amazing.
So main stage wise, is there anything there that you all might want to touch on? The show is always amazing, but you all like to keep it fresh. So I know like in prior years, you've had bands, you've had other things that go on the main stage, but is there anything that you can bring up just to tell everybody, you know, this is also happening out in the main ballroom?
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks for leading us into this segue. So this year we're doing something that we've never done before, but we have seen it done and it looked really, really amazing. And that is the VR zone. We have done a VR thing in the past, but not like this. So this is going to be a 20 by 30 area that is going to be ran by Baz Productions. And they do the VR zones for every major con that's out there. So they went to MAGFest. They go to like PAX East. They are legit. And I mean that in all caps. I think they're setting up like 6 or 8 different kind of zones inside their one major zone where you can play multiplayer with someone or against someone, or you can play individual games as well. And they have all the newest games. They have the licensing from the devs. This isn't some type of hack job here. They have MetaQuest 2s and MetaQuest 3s, and they have their whole booth set up. You sign up with them, you get everything registered, then you're good to go. The stuff they have is so, so cool.
And that's all included the price of your ticket there. Everything inside the show is included.
Corey and I are on the same wavelength because I was going to.
There's no extra charge for VR.
Once you're in the door, and it's all.
Everything's
all
on there. Free play, including the VR zone. So you're good.
Yeah, we definitely try to change it up every year, but also go back to the core is that it's all about retro and classic gaming, both in arcade and on console, because that's what people like. They enjoy that stuff, being able to play it. And sometimes it's the odd system. Sometimes it's a specific game. But we do try to mix up the tournaments and everything else.
I'm not going to lie. You know where my genre is. You can see what's around you in terms of the pins and the arcades and the like. Doing what you all do has introduced me to things that I didn't know that I'd like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
And now there's things that a couple years ago, why do I want to mess with that? Now it's like, is that back? Where's that at?
People being able to show classic computers to their children of this is what it was like to use an Apple II. This is what it was like to use an original Mac, an Apple II GS, this Commodore 64. Being able to use Print Shop and generate
a greeting card.
Greeting cards at the show. This is the way it worked on a color inkjet. Yeah.
We used to give out, you know, our birthday cards to friends and family. We made them.
Yep.
I mean, you remember.
Oh, yeah,
Print Shop
absolutely.
Was where
it was color dot matrix. What did I say? Inkjet.
Yeah.
Color dot matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, our laser image writer. Yeah.
Oh, I had a 9-pin dot matrix Commodore printer, and that's exactly what I did.
That's one of the most popular stations in the show, and playing old Apple II games.
So
Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail.
Good. It is just, it's timeless.
So I'll tell you this. This is a quick diversion. When I had, you know, my Commodore 64, and I may have actually, no, it had to have been a 64, because I had the printer, and it was done in the white plastic, like the VIC-20.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Print Shop, at least on the Commodore side, started on the 64. I was printing banners for everything.
Yeah.
And my mom and my neighbor had gone to a Weight Watchers meeting. They didn't necessarily need to. They felt that they wanted to go to Weight Watchers and shape up a little bit. Okay. So they were kind of excited about it. They go one evening, and I knew that this was something that they were kind of like partnering to do, and they were excited. So I was excited for my mom. So I printed her a banner to welcome her home.
Uh-oh.
And young Brent thought the image that I chose to book in the banner was just cute. It was a cute little pig.
Oh, my God, dude.
And she had mixed emotions about it. She knew what I had intended. But at one point, she was laughing so hard, she was tearing up. So, yes.
I thought you were going to say she snorted.
But. No. Now, I'll cop to that. If I get really choked up and laugh, I will do that. But no.
And for those who don't remember the magic that was the dot matrix printers and making banners, when we say that, what we mean is, so you they were on rollers. So your paper was on a roller, and you would design it to where, let's say you're going to do congrats, mom. Yep. C would be on one page, O would be on the next page, N would be on the next page, then G, and so on until it was happy birthday or whatever.
Yep.
Now, please don't do that at our show because that paper is kind of expensive. You can do a few, but please don't do like a massive banner. But, you know, do some, of course.
It's hard to get tractor feed paper anymore. You can still find it, but it's difficult.
Oh, I would have thought from some businesses still holding on to the technology. Yeah. I knew it was out there.
It's just harder to get. You can't get
it. And it's heavy. Like, I don't want to have to carry in giant stacks of it. I'm sorry to be lame like that. But
we're getting older,
but we do want you to print out fun stuff. It's a lot of fun
when you walk into the show and you get to kind of experience that again, and then show there are things that my younger family members are into now 100% because they have experienced it at your show.
That's what we love to hear,
and
that's exactly why we do it.
They love it.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna. Since you did a story, I'm going to do a quick one, too.
Hopefully it turned out better than mine.
It did. And I may be jinxing us by doing this, but in the early, early years, I mean, we've always done a dot matrix printer every year. And it was either the first or second year, a little kid or somebody came up to us and said, hey, I want to print out a cool thing, too. But this printer just keeps going and going because someone had queued up a big banner to go out. And it just, we don't remember what they did, but after about 12 or 15 pages, I was telling the folks helping us there, volunteering, I'm like, hey, man, cut this thing. Like, stop this.
Shut
thing.
It down.
This little guy wants to just make a little quick thing. Stop this. Well, I can't remember what it was. I wish I'd taken a picture, but it wasn't congrats, mom, with a cute piggy.
Okay.
But I mean, it was
Did what you could read of it, did it start, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times?
No. It wasn't like a big novel or anything like that. And we used to print out goofy prizes for second and third place on the dot matrix. Like,
oh, yeah.
I got second place in Marvel vs. Capcom, and all I got was this crappy printout.
So. I'd hang that.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
The person we gave that to was really excited. And I think the winner was all, oh, man, I wanted that. So, yeah, we try to do fun stuff like that. And I'm going to go one more story deep. And I'm sorry if I'm taking too much time here.
No, have at it. This is your show.
Hey, thanks. We try to set up, we always set up Typing of the Dead on Dreamcast.
Yep.
Which is basically House of the Dead. But instead of using zappers, you're using keyboards to type the words or letters or numbers that, mm-hmm. that as the zombies comes towards you, they each have to be typed to be destroyed. And gosh, probably 5-6 years ago, my niece and nephew at the time were in their early tweens, maybe 10 to 12-ish, 13-ish. And having been raised on, you know, phones and tablets and touchscreens, I said, hey, you guys are going to really enjoy this. It's a super, super fun game. When you see the zombie, you just type what comes up. You type it, and they're real competitive. They're smart. And they said, okay, I got left. You got right. Let's take them down. But as I watched them type, my hands were, I was starting to clutch them at anger and rage was starting to well up inside me. Like, you guys are so slow. So I had to step up and they were getting killed. So I had to step up and just, you know,
cause that's not what they know.
That's right. I had my fingers on the home keys and I was ready to roll.
Now, if it was their thumbs and you were texting it, you'd be in it.
Oh, they would. Yeah,
this isn't Text of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, they would have destroyed me on Text of the
Your
Dead.
Indie developers.
There's a suggestion.
Maybe I should edit that out of the show, and we'll just go to talk to him about this idea, air quotes, that we have.
$1 million idea. Corey. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Text of the Dead.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. So help me out here. Lead me along. What else do you have that we should spotlight?
All righty. Yeah. So we need to talk about some of the other things. Again, check the schedule. Check it every day. Check the whole weekend. We've got one of our guest speakers this year is going to be Nintendo Drew. He's a really cool Nintendo-focused YouTuber. He's going to do a couple panels. One is going to be about how to develop a Nintendo game for regular Nintendo. And he'll go into, if you're just getting started, how would you do that? If you have some knowledge about NES development, how would you expand upon that? And he may even get into, once you've made a game, what do you do? Do you try to sell it to people? What are the legalities of that? How would you do that? How do you get it produced and put on a cartridge? And then some of that stuff. He's also releasing a game, so he'll have that available to demo and show folks when they come to his table.
Oh, that's awesome, because I have been at a show with Nintendo before. Awesome, awesome person.
He's a great dude.
Unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time to spend with him. I was under the false impression that he really focused on the collecting side and the history side. I didn't realize he was that deep in, like a development.
Yeah, yeah. So he used to do a lot of that on the collecting side. He still does some, but I think now he's really went into the development and how that production and all that stuff. So it's going to be cool to hear him talk about that. He's also going to do a panel on just Nintendo trivia. So that should be a lot of fun. And that won't be our main big trivia, which James Key does. And he does that Friday night. And that is super, super fun. We're all safe if anyone heard that. The box dropped. James will have everyone set up into teams, and then you'll register your team with him, and then he'll go through and he'll have, it's almost like Jeopardy, really. He'll have regular questions, he'll have multiple choice, he'll have audio cues, he'll have video that he plays, and everyone who plays through that just has a great time. It's a ton of fun. And no cheating with your phones, people.
And again, this is all included. Once you're in the show, you're in the show.
Yep, they have prizes that they give away for the trivia. That's on Friday night.
Yeah, that's Friday night. And then Saturday, so you talked about how cool it is to see someone playing games at the highest possible level. Dr. Mario, mm-hmm. Tetris, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to have someone come in. His name's Kevin. Really nice dude. He's out of Columbus, Ohio. He is going to play through Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which I'm sure you've played. I don't know if you've ever played against Tyson himself. A very, very difficult boss.
By the way, I'm terrible at games. I love them.
You need to edit that out. No one ever needs to know this. So Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is a legendary game just because it's not really... It's a boxing game, but it's not a traditional boxing game. Yes. It's like an arcade game. Mm-hmm. Super fun. Tyson himself is one of the original... If you wanted to be, quote-unquote, an elite gamer in the late 80s, early 90s, if you could beat Mike Tyson in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, that was a big deal. Now, Kevin is coming in to beat every boxer in Mike Tyson's Punch Out, including Tyson himself, blindfolded. So
well, that was a twist I wasn't expecting.
He will be taking the stage, and we'll also have it on projector for everyone to see.
Now I can't envision that. I know somebody that has beat Dragon's Lair by sound with the monitor out, but that's all audio cues.
Yes.
If you know the game well enough, you can do that. It's just timing.
Thing. Yeah, this is the same thing.
Yeah, this is exactly the same.
Punch Out is much more dynamic.
It is, but it's not as dynamic as you might think. Because the game's probably only 128K, and I think there is some amount of random number generation in it, but he probably knows within 5 seconds the audio cues.
That's crazy.
I think there's only 5 or 6 different like patterns that each boxer does, and he will know, because he's played it so much, he will know instantly which of those he is in. But you never know. Something could happen. He may not make it. He may have to... You know, I get a rematch. We'll see. But I think he can run through it in like 30 minutes. That's how talented this dude is.
Blindfolded.
And we will verify. I mean, we're going to verify all this. We're not going to have some weak see-through.
I haven't been here, 20 minutes with you two, and I'm having hard enough time focusing to remember which one is Corey and which one's Joe. I'm not playing Punch-Out for 30 minutes and winning it. That's insane. That's wild.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm Corey. He's Joe.
Okay. Got it. Good. I don't have to get name tags. That will be something to see. So, and he's coming in from Columbus to do that.
Yeah. He's
that's awesome.
Elite top tier gamer. So it's going to be awesome.
We're bringing back the charity raffle on Saturday.
We will
be giving away both a new Stern pinball machine. We're not sure which title yet. And a Valley EM, a bow and arrow.
That's a cool game. Yep. That's a good game.
So
that's
tickets
awesome
are available
game.
On Saturday for sale all day. You must be present to win.
Corey, you mentioned the pinball machines that were going to be giveaways as part of the raffle. And that reminded me, I wanted to make sure we touched on this. People bringing games, you all really appreciate it if they jump on the website and you all have got a really nice form, really simple to fill out, and they and register games that they're bringing, because that helps you all plan.
Yeah,
correct?
We would love to have, there's nothing more satisfying than seeing your machine actually being played by families all weekend long. We would love
I can attest to that.
We'd love to have 100%. Your game. If you haven't brought a game before, reach out to us through our email. We'll send you the form. We just don't publish it because otherwise it gets
spam.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah, you get it because you brought a game before. Yeah.
I apologize. Thank you for correcting me.
It's anything arcade, anything pinball, anything coin operated. All the console games are everything supplied by the show. We don't take donations or anything like that. But
you don't bring an Atari 2600.
No, we've got all those covered. Those are all owned by us because that's just the way that needs to work.
It makes sense.
But for arcade and pinball, we would love to have your game. We do offer a few thank yous. We give away t-shirts. You get entries into that raffle. raffle for the number of games that you bring. And we have a pizza party on one of the days too, during setup. So we'd love to have
admission too for games.
For each game you bring, you get a weekend pass. So we would love to have as many games. Just sign up really, really helps. It makes check-in faster as well.
Yep.
And then we know how many to plan for and where to position them.
Here, and I'm making an appeal to the listeners for this. And I myself am behind in the times. I was talking, mentioned earlier to you all when we were talking. I've already got a handful of games in my mental queue that are going to go, and ideally more. And I need to get on that. So.
Yeah, we all have last minute fixes to get things ready for the show. We have the same thing.
And we know how much time and effort it takes to, you know, get a machine ready, get it working, load it up, take it there, unload it, take care of it, et cetera. And we really, really appreciate people taking the time to do all that.
If you have anything for sale as well, as long as it can be put on the free play area, you're welcome to sell it. It does need to stay until Sunday, including if somebody new buys it, they need to take it home on Sunday only. We just can't have games moving around during the weekend.
But absolutely.
People love to shop for games, and a lot of games trade hands. So if you've got a game that you'd like to sell or trade, bring it out to the show. A lot of eyeballs on it.
I have sold many a game through the years, and I try to mix it up. You know, if I have something that is going to move out of the collection, just like you said, Corey, that's a perfect opportunity because there's a lot of collectors there and there's a lot of people. I've sold both to collectors wanting that title, and I've sold to individuals that have, I want that particular game. I have a small game room, a small collection, or I just want a game, and that's the game I want because that was something that I liked when I was younger. Personally, I'm trying to mix it up more and bring more out of my collection. So you'll see a lot of that. Please don't think you're going to show up and it's going to look like a car lot. That's not it. You will see games at this show that are meticulously cared for, rebuilt, games that are the pride. When people ask me what these shows are like, I said, you've seen a car show, right? Even if you've never been to one, you've driven down the road and seen a car show. From the arcade pinball side, think of that ballroom like an arcade, and everybody that has brought a game, that's like their pride and joy, that, you know, their 67 Firebird that they've pulled out and they've poured their heart into and brought to show to the public. But you get to drive it.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy.
You don't just get to see it and walk by it. You get to drive it.
Yeah, all the collectors that bring stuff, we really appreciate, and they do love their games.
What else can we touch on, gentlemen?
I think we have just a few other things to mention. So we also do the costume contest. We do two. So that's on Saturday as well. Usually around 1 to 1:30 is the kids costume contest. So anyone 14 or younger, dress up as your favorite anime, video game, retro character. We have prizes for everyone who participates.
A favorite podcaster, you can dress up as your favorite.
You can dress up as Brent. Yeah, I don't know if you got to have the hair for it, though. You got to
work on the hair, get a good wig, whatever. Yeah,
no way on a wig. And then we do we say adult, but it's really just anyone over 15. 15 and over is the costume contest, and that happens around 6 p.m. on Saturday, and we have cash prizes for that. So that one, we have best in show, we have best runner up, best retro, we have best group. It is a ton of fun. Everybody loves to come and dress up, and we have everyone come up on stage, maybe say a little bit about their costume or how it was made. We have people do skits a lot of times. I think we had a Batman last year that just kind of stared at us. It's a ton of fun. We have some guest judges. It's great.
Most of what I said about the games applies to the folks that do the cosplay and are in the costume contest. Just seeing as they all, you will see people through the weekend cosplaying to some degree.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
But as you get closer and closer to the time for the actual contest and you start seeing them kind of come together, you see the love and attention to detail and the care they put into these costumes.
We had a group last year that was Pac-Man and the Ghosts. And they weren't just Pac-Man and the Ghosts. They were like 8-foot tall versions of them. And they did not fit on the stage. We had to put them in front of the stage, but it didn't matter. Everyone could see them anyway. They even had the music playing inside there. It was kind of loud, but if you got close, you could hear the Pac-Man music of when he eats the power pellet and he's coming after him. I would imitate it, but I don't want Brent to have to edit that out. But it's just incredible, the creativity and the talent that people show, just the stage presence some folks have. You'd be surprised. Someone may buy a goofy costume and didn't spend a ton of time making it or whatever, but because they just owned it and they were in it and they had all the passion and the just jumping and going crazy on stage, that goes a long way with the judges. It goes a long way. It's really cool. It's really fun.
Have we gotten through the list? I want to make sure I touch on everything. I see little things being crossed off.
If you haven't been to the Louisville Arcade Expo in a while, or you've never been, we'd love to have you.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say thank you so much, Brent. This has been a lot of fun chatting with you, and it gets me hyped up for the show, too, getting to talk about it and bounce ideas off of you and talk about how everything's going and what planning is like. So thanks. This has been great.
Well, I appreciate, and Whitney, if he was here, I know he would as well. I appreciate that you all make time to come and sit down with us.
We couldn't be more happy to be back.
Thanks. See everybody in late March.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of another episode of the Broken Token Podcast. I promise they'll do better next time. Just go easy on the guys. They don't have a lot to work with. Since Whitney is my dad, I'll be nice and get on to the closing business. Please visit our website at BrokenToken.com for articles, reviews, restoration logs, direct show downloads, and expanded show notes for this and every episode. We want to hear your feedback, comments, rants, raves, and otherwise, both good and bad. Drop us a line via email at podcast@brokentoken.com or use the contact page on the podcast website. You can call us at 470-2-CALL-BT. That's 470-222-5528 and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you and we might play your message on air in the next episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broken Token and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/brokentoken. Brett and Whitney are always posting up new content between the official episodes, and it's a great way to stay involved with the show between the shows. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and just about any other podcast directory you can think of. Just search for Broken Token and subscribe to the show. Like what you hear? Please consider leaving us a review wherever you found the show, as the reviews help us in search rankings and visibility. Once again, thanks for listening, and as my dad always says, keep your quarters clean and game on.
So I printed her a banner to welcome her home.
Uh-oh.